I think we should, yes.
Sister Dinwiddie and Brother Dinwiddie, Brian is going to offer prayer.
Dearest Heavenly Father, we ask to approach thy holy presence at this time to ask thy blessing upon our ministry this day. We ask thou would please bless the hearts and minds of Brother and Sister Dinwiddie, that they might recall those things which are needful for us this day and age, and also for those yet to come. We ask thou would please guide and direct their hearts and minds, that they may be opened and to remember those things which are so needful for us. We thank thee for thy many countless blessings. We ask for thy continued guidance. In Jesus' dear name, amen.
Sister Dinwiddie, you want to turn around so we can look at you a little bit, you know? That's good. Now, we'd like to have your experiences on tape. Because, as I just mentioned, what your experiences have been in the truth movement are very important to us. And we'd like to have your experience on tape so that we can bring this out to some of the brethren in the Bible Students movement. So Brian is going to ask you some questions to begin with, and whatever I might want to ask, I'll ask you that too. I think you realize the importance of what we're doing, don't you? The brethren, you know?
Yes.
You've been to all kinds of conventions.
Yes.
And sometimes they show on the film the old-timers, and some of those that were young then and are old-timers now. And it's always nice to see that, you know?
Yes.
So that's what we're going to do now.
Oh, I see.
We want to record some things about you so that the friends will be able to know just what experiences you had years ago, what you've been through, what things may have transpired during all those years, and how they can help us today, how those experiences can help us today. I guess to start, I should find out just who exactly you are. You can tell me your full names, please. Brother Dinwiddie, would you please tell me your full name?
Name?
Yes.
Your full name, with all the middle initials.
David Dinwiddie.
Me.
You're David Dinwiddie.
Aren't you? Well, my full name is David Dinwiddie.
And when were you born? And where?
1888.
You know what the date was?
Yes.
What was it?
I think I'm about 94 years old.
Okay, do you know what your birth date was? What month and day?
Pardon?
Your what birth date.
Month,
it was 1893
you were born. But what month and what year?
April the 4th.
Well, I have it down here.
82.
April. When I visited you last, you signed April 24th? You say?
18.
I think it's January 24th.
What is your birth date again, Sister?
Birth date is January.
No,
it's in January.
Was it April or what? Or January?
January. When was your birthday?
Oh, 4th of April.
4th of April.
4th of April.
1888.
Yeah, I have your signature in my manna. From 5 years ago, you signed my manna. I think my sister's also. And Sister Dinwiddie, could you please tell me what your name was before you were married?
Mary Scott.
Mary Scott. And when were you born?
I was born on December the 31st.
That's so.
What year?
Just let me think.
Well, I have 1893 down. Is that correct?
That's right.
Oh, my.
That's right. Your birthday's always New Year's Eve.
The last day of the year.
Yes, indeed.
That's really nice. Okay. Where exactly were both of you born?
We were born in Scotland.
Any particular city?
The city, well, we were born in different cities. David was born in Where was you born? Motherwell?
Motherwell, Scotland. Lanarkshire, Scotland.
And I was born in Worcester, Scotland. No, I wasn't. I was born in Lismahague, Scotland.
Can you get the names?
And,
Lismahague, well, I was born in the country. So was he.
When were you two married?
Oh, gosh. When were we married?
Well, you just told me about your honeymoon 68 years ago, was it?
Yeah, it's that's it. It's around that. I couldn't give you the exact, I don't think. Maybe I could, I don't know.
Well, if you think about it later, you can tell us then.
Oh, it's not necessary, you know. You just get them. We were married in... August, June, July. We were married in July. Do you remember the year, David? In July that we were married. It was the Glasgow Fair, you remember? Glasgow Holidays.
Was it 1914?
I was before that.
13?
Was it 1913 or 1912? I think it was 1912.
Well, then you've been married for 70 years.
Yeah.
My, oh, my.
It was 1912 we were married. Now it's coming over.
Well, you know, one year more or less don't make that much difference now, does it?
No, it doesn't make, doesn't make a bit of difference.
Not when you're married that long.
No.
How did you two come in contact with the Bible students, the truth? How did you come in contact with the truth?
Well, I came in contact with it through David.
And what year did Brother David come in contact with the truth? Do you know Brother David?
The truth?
Yes. When did you come to know
it? It was about 1916.
1916
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, then before Brother also passed away.
What?
Before Brother also passed away, you came to the truth.
Yeah,
that was October the 31st when he passed away, 1916.
Yeah.
And you came to the truth before that, right?
Yeah.
Just before that. But you were in Scotland at that time. Weren't you in Scotland?
Oh, yes,
we were living in Scotland then.
Maybe you can tell us under what circumstances you came to the truth. Was it a public meeting or something?
They were giving meetings. They were going, you know, the way they do now, if you go around with the pamphlets and invite you to the meeting on Sunday, it's a special speaker and so forth.
Does Brother David remember anything about that?
Do you remember anything about that? That's what I remember about it.
About what?
How you get to the truth.
How?
Well, that was very simple.
You was working with somebody.
I used to. I worked with the Lanarkshire Steel Company. And while there, I met one of the
Bible students.
He was an elder. Johnny Sheeran.
Of
course, he began.
He got him to come and be with him.
And so every time we met, we were talking about the truth.
Yeah.
And then, it was very, very interesting. And then, you see, the thing was like this. And then he passed the truth on to Tom Bryson and myself. Mm-hmm. And the result was that that's how we came in contact with the truth, see? And then, of course, they invited us to the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the meeting. And it's very interesting.
That was in a private home, the meeting?
No.
Or a public meeting?
No, it was Sunday, a special meeting on a Sunday.
Oh, I see. All right, go ahead, Brother. Mm-hmm. Have it then, will you?
And so, the brother, the other brother that friend with me, Tom Bryson. He got the truth before me. And so one of the elders said to me, he says, hey, why don't you come down and get the saints and meet some of the saints, okay? You know what happened?
Oh, you have to tell us.
Said, I had to meet with the saint. Oh, I would tell him.
Go ahead.
Meet with the saints. I shrug. I didn't want to meet with a lot of saints. I thought they were, you know, what wrong with church was. So that ended, and then at that time, of course, there was a war on.
Oh, yes.
The war on, and...
the First World War.
Mm-hmm. Where are you going, Sister Dinwiddie?
I'm just going to this door.
Well, you listen, Sister Dinwiddie, we need you here because otherwise we lose you in the picture.
Yes, I know. I'm not going out. I'm just turning here, but I wanted to think about a few minutes.
Okay. Okay, you were saying there was a world war going on, Brother Dinwiddie?
Pardon?
You're saying there was a world war going on at the time?
Mm. Yes, there was a world war.
1914, 1918.
Yeah. Did you ever see Brother Russell?
Yes, I saw and I heard him.
When did you see Brother Russell?
Well, that would be about 1914?
Yeah, it was in around there.
In about there.
About 1914.
Yeah. 14.
Were you here in this country, or did he go there to Scotland?
That was Scotland.
That was in Scotland?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had him at two addresses.
Mm-hmm. Did he ever visit with you at home, or did you ever talk to him personally?
No, I didn't.
No, you never had the opportunity.
I never got to.
You didn't get to the weeknight meetings too regular, because you had to work.
Recording. Oh, boy.
Okay. We're having a little technical problems here. Brother Hummel's recorder is not recording.
Oh.
But as far as I know, I'm getting it over here. Okay. Did you ever see the photodrama?
Oh, I saw that two or three times.
Two or three times?
Yes.
Do you remember anything about it?
Yeah, because it gave the outcome. It gave the whole thing, the photodrama. And then they issued the little...
From the beginning to the end.
All right. Then they issued the little booklets.
I'm just telling my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can tell us your thoughts too, Sister Jane.
Sure.
What do you remember from the photodrama?
Nice old gentleman who was so nice and gentle, and he was so lovely, he understood what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
That was my experience with Brother Russell.
Mm-hmm.
I could understand every word he said. There were some of the chairman, you know, you didn't know what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You could understand that mean you could start and tell it.
Yes, I did tell it.
Amen. And you could tell everyone?
As best as I could.
As best as you could, yeah, that's it. Tell everyone as best
tell
as
every
you
word
could.
That Brother Russell said. How he's...
I was a good speaker.
Then when I got to know him, to speak to personally.
Did you speak to Brother Russell personally?
Yes.
Oh, my.
I did.
Can you tell me about that?
I was on committees that served tea and coffee and things. that I had that opportunity of speaking with Brother Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke to me and asked me how I got the truth from the queer.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him I got it from him.
From Brother Russell.
Yeah, and he laughed. He says, dear, he says, I was only in my 20s.
Yeah. You were pretty less, right?
Yeah. And he started asking me questions.
Yeah.
Same boy. He didn't let you away with just saying, "Night, a beautiful day today, did you enjoy the talk?" No, sir, there was none of that. He wanted to know what you got.
Yeah.
And him and I didn't agree.
You didn't agree with what Brother Russell had taught?
No.
One of them. I didn't agree with what he said in one of them.
What were you, Catholic or Protestant?
Protestants.
You two were were you
Presbyterians.
Huh?
We were Presbyterians. I was a Presbyterian. He wasn't.
What was Brother Dinwiddie? What were you?
Well, he did go to the Presbyterian Church.
Wow.
But he didn't join it. But I went to it and I joined the Presbyterian Church. So I was a member of it. Not very long.
Were you in the truth and consecrated when you had that conversation with Brother Russell?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, we were both consecrated on the other side.
What did you disagree with Brother Russell? What didn't you agree with? Do you remember what the point of doctrine was, or what the point was?
No, it was nothing of any importance. That's the truth to you.
Well, did he clear you up on what you disagreed with?
Yeah, he cleared me.
And you went home satisfied,
I
right?
I was satisfied, yes. I found out that...
Are you going to find something in your drawer here?
I think I have.
Okay. Well, I'll follow you with the camera here then. What is this?
That's to put on the table.
Okay. Reader's Digest.
She wants you to put that on the table over there.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
That's
are you recording or what?
That's
it's
all that's in here. Any importance.
I thought maybe you had something there that you wanted to show us.
Well, I thought I had too, but I didn't. It's not here. It's in another place. In another room.
Hmm.
I'll tell you the next time.
Okay.
Give you another. I'll look it out and get it properly put together.
You want to back up some more, Sister Dinwiddie?
Well, you have to move back a little bit further.
Yeah.
There you go.
Brother Dinwiddie, were you an elder in Scotland when you were still in Scotland? Were you an elder in the church there?
No.
Had you been elected an elder over there in the church?
Only with the brethren. Under the Bible students, you mean?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Well, did you belong to any ecclesia over there?
Yes, he did.
Oh, you did?
Glasgow ecclesia.
Glasgow. Uh-huh.
Did you know Brother Morton Edgar?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very well.
Oh, my. What can you tell me about him?
You were a wonderful gentleman.
Yeah.
And he could talk. Oh, he could talk.
Mm-hmm.
My gave us Watson. David knew of some of his addresses between the two of us, and David put them together.
You have to stay back there, Sister Dinwiddie. We can't see you. We got the camera here has to see you.
Yeah, it's the camera has to see me. No, not you. You don't count. It's a camera.
That's right.
Well, you know, the Edgars were highly educated people.
Yes, they were. They were all well-educated people.
Yeah.
They were all well-educated people in Glasgow. Do you know that? Even the brethren, they were all, because they had to go through high school.
A lot
of them went through three times. Went 3 years to high school.
Yeah. Do you remember Brother John Edgar also?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
He was a wonderful person. Oh, he was a lovely talker. You knew who he was talking about, in fact.
Now, he passed away in 1910.
Yes, he did.
And how far back did you come into the truth then? How did you know Brother John Edgar if he died in 1910?
You want to come back, Sister Dinwiddie?
She's very restless.
I wait to see what year was it we... We were going to the meetings, but we weren't consecrated.
Okay, but when did you start going to the meetings?
Well, we started going to the meetings. When was it, David? When was that big meeting that we went to? That was the first time we met my brother there at that meeting, and we spoke to him. And he came from the same place, as the same town as us. He lived not far from us. So he took our address, and he used to pop in and have little conversations with David. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get them because I had a baby I had to take care of to keep it out the road.
So
I didn't get the... I got them for David after, of course.
You don't know what year it was, though, do you, Brother David?
Do you know what year that was? Oh, yes. 1920, Nancy was born in 1929. So it must have been 1930.
But how could you have known Brother John Edgar then in 1910? John, not Morton, Brother John.
Brother John.
He passed away in 1910 in February.
We met him. We just met him. It was the others that we knew better. We didn't know him so well. We didn't know him. David would, but I didn't, because I wasn't going to the meetings then. I wouldn't have nothing to do with them.
Do you have any idea how the Edgars got into the truth?
Well,
I know they got it through Brother Russell, but under what circumstances?
They had the...
Don't go so far away, Sister Dinwiddie.
They had the... What do you call it again? On a Saturday night, they showed pictures, Bible pictures, Bible stories, mm-hmm. and he was the speaker. Oh. And that was how we got to know him.
Was that John or Morton Edgar? Would that have been Morton Edgar?
Who was it that had the meetings in the
town
hall? In the town hall. Who had the meetings in the town hall?
He's asleep.
He's asleep, Sister Dinwiddie.
I'm awake. What about me?
Who?
We'd like to know how the Edgars came to the truth. John and...
How you got into the truth?
Yeah.
We were in the truth.
No.
Well, you can ask that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was very, very interested in the truth. I was more vigorous about it than any in my family, I can tell you. But they only came, I think, sometimes when it suited them. But I wanted to know the truth and make the truth my own.
Yeah.
And so I went in with Tom Bryson. He was he'd become one of the brethren too. And every Sunday night, I was down to the town hall, and there we listened to.
Different speakers came out from Glasgow.
Yeah.
Eh?
Different speakers came out from Glasgow on a Saturday.
Aye, but the main one was Brother Russell.
But Russell,
he
Brother
was a
Russell,
great attraction.
He was a great attraction. Oh, yes, the place was packed when he was on.
So when he attracted, why then, you may be sure that there were others going to follow.
Yeah.
Because he was a brilliant speaker. But then there always a lot of calamities happen. And so One of the first calamities was that John Shearer, he was an elder in the Glasgow Church, and well, John, he was a pretty smart fellow at my age, but I think he was too smart. So he came up to our house, and we went to his house, and we studied the with the Vormans. That was the best, because it was through the Vormans that you really got the need.
I'm a person that can't sit at peace.
But we'd like to have your beautiful face in the picture.
Oh, I see. All right.
That did it.
I'm just going to sit here.
Good.
Be a good girl.
Yeah, for once.
And you know, as far as I remember, I don't know whether both, but at least one of the Edgar brothers wasn't in the truth too many years, but they really grasped it very quickly. The truth, you know? Was it John?
John died
very soon. John died very early in his life, I think, and very suddenly. But I don't think he was in the truth more than 10 years.
I think it was more like five.
More like 5 years, yeah. That's what Brian says. But they grasped the truth so quickly, and they could certainly interpret it too.
Brother David, when did you first hear of the truth? Not when you consecrate, but when did you first hear of it? Do you remember?
Hear of the truth.
Mm-hmm. How old were you? Do you remember?
Well, how old would I be?
Nancy was a baby.
Nancy was a baby, so that
she was born in 29. Mm-hmm. She was an infant. How we had the long robes on them. I went to the meetings with David with our robe on, carried her an infant on a Sunday night. When I went, didn't get every Sunday. I couldn't yet.
And then there was a war come on.
When you came to the United States, did you come to Jersey City right away?
Or
Bloomfield? Where did you go? When you came from Scotland, where did you move?
Did you not go to... Wait, I don't know this one.
Because you lived in Bloomfield a long time, Street, you know.
Most of the time I lived in Bloomfield.
So when you came from Scotland, did you go to Bloomfield right away?
Yes.
You moved right to Bloomfield?
Yes, she did. Yeah.
You did.
And when I came right away too.
Didn't come together?
No.
You didn't come together, huh?
He came first to see whether he would like it or not.
Oh.
To get a job and...
And get a job.
Yeah.
And when he got the job and he knew he was going to like it, he got an apartment and I came out.
I see.
Wow. Did you know... did either of you know Judge Rutherford also?
Oh, yes. I went and heard him.
I heard him.
And I got put out of the truth.
You got put out because of him?
Sister Dinwiddie, come back. This is very important here now.
Oh, dear. I'll stay.
Why did you argue with Judge Rutherford?
Well, I'll tell you why.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the Glasgow Church, there's a lot of brilliant men.
He was a lawyer.
Oh, a lot of them. And Peter Kelly, he was one. You know, Charlie Kelly? Peter Kelly and
a few other ones, too.
It so happened that... after Brother Russell died, then Judge Rutherford come over for to set things right, I presume. And
put them together.
set things right. And the result was that it was quite a lot of trouble. So what did he go and do? He went and come over, and it wasn't a business meeting day, but he started a business meeting. And he, because he wanted to get a whole lot of young ones in to be elders, you see?
Young men.
And so he went up and to be elders. I remember it vividly, just like yesterday. So he put up the thing. Brother so-and-so, try again, he would say, when they get them elected.
Oh, they'd revote and revote and revote?
Try again.
Yeah.
Try again.
Try again.
Yeah. They didn't know the percentage, maybe.
Oh, they didn't want the percentage.
Oh, they'd do that, no?
No, that so that was a good trouble for you. And
that was when they put you out.
And we, so that was the start. And a funny thing about it was that these brethren that were well up in the street, they yielded to him and other things, they had just done it. And the result was that, of course, they were these brilliant ones. They were the ones that helped the brother, because they really knew the truth and they know how to. So that was the sort of a whole lot else happened. But at any rate, I took my stand.
What was it that you were opposed to? What was it that you were opposed to, having so many young elders being elected? Was that it?
No. What I was opposed to was that these young elders, they didn't get the proper vote. See? You could come in to the proper vote, and he wanted them in. And he got in. You know, you never should ask any here put up as an elder and they don't vote for you. Why, you would never think of putting them in at all after the letter, that would you?
Was his motivation to get younger elders in there so he could have some control over them? Was
yeah.
That was the idea.
That was his idea.
I see.
He wanted to be top man.
And he was top man.
And he was top man, because he had to do as he was told.
Because his brother, we had to go out.
Well, when brother also passed away, he was on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah.
And how long did it take the judge to take over? You know, he had ambitions to take over the whole...
Well, I wouldn't just remember me. Exactly. But it was close, because he had a whole lot of the other elders there who were very smart.
Yeah, and brother
McKenzie and all them.
And brother Russell's will, he had five trustees, right?
Yes.
Five trustees. So and they were to continue the publication of the Watchtower and so on.
That's right.
So he got them to back him up at Rutherford.
Yeah.
I have a supplement to the Watchtower, which was printed January 1st, 1917. This includes all of the forewords that were put into the volumes for 1916 forewords, and they're written by Brother Russell.
Oh, I will give you one.
Do you have one of these?
You have one of these, yeah.
You have that, yeah?
Very good. I was wondering if you could assure me that this was indeed written by Brother Russell. Are you sure that it was written by him, or is there any way you can prove it?
Oh, you can prove it.
Was him that printed it?
Yeah.
Was it no? Oh, it wasn't. It was somebody else.
You can prove it. That's right. When you get the truth. He said, know the truth. And no. The truth shall make you free. These brethren, I think a lot of these brethren, I don't know what happened to them. They were just...
There's something happened to them. They changed so quick.
And then Judd Rutherford was all for a big war.
See, there's a problem. Some brethren do not believe that Brother Russell wrote the forewords.
Oh, yes, it was wrote before long before he died.
Yes, it says October 1st, 1916 on here, under Brother Russell's name. But the brethren say, well, because it was released in January of 1917, that Brother Russell didn't write it.
It takes time to write it and put it into print for books. They can't do a thing overnight like that.
You want to come back, Sister Dinwiddie?
Yeah.
See, this is a very important issue, because we think that the forewords are very important.
Yes,
but
indeed.
But there are some who think now that because it was the date on this, the 1st of October, and he died on the 31st of October, that he possibly couldn't have written it. That's the big deal now, you see.
Oh.
And we want to get some confirmation from you, if you know this, that they are authentic.
You should know that now, because you was a member of the Glasgow Church before that. So you should be able to know that.
Who?
You.
Know what?
That the forewords are authentic, that Brother Russell wrote these forewords.
They're saying that he didn't write them.
That not somebody else wrote them after he died.
No, wrote after he died. Now, can you put your mind back to that time? You should be able to, because you were a young fella. And you were busy with them, you were going to the meetings, you were going to committee meetings, and you were going to meetings for books to be printed and so forth at that time.
See, it's possible that there was a discussion about this before the 1st of October, and that you might have heard about a discussion about this these forewords.
Yeah. Did you ever hear
You remember anything like that, Brother Dinwiddie?
Did you ever hear any
discussion about forewords to be written to the volumes?
The volumes.
You remember anything like that? Any discussion about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, this is the sort of theory I think they went on. I used to talk to a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses and also to there were one, he was an elder, Jehovah's Witness, and he came to our home. And then I took out one of Brother Russell's old towers, you know, and I had a good few of them. And he said, who wrote that? That was Pastor Russell. Oh, he looked at that and he read it and he said, is this could I have won? Yeah, said I, you could have won if you're going to use it. But if you're going to tear it up or ridicule it, so I gave him it.
You're talking about the forewords now? You're talking about the forewords?
The what?
The forewords.
1916 forewords in the
1916 forewords.
No,
What was it doing? What ones are you talking about then? Which book was he using at that time? Do you remember?
Through all things, hold fast that which is good.
Yeah, I remember that was the...
I always
proved from the outside
it.
Of the book.
I always proved it by going to one of the old towers and they proving it from there, because one of the brethren, he said to me, he says, well, they said, if you've got the truth, why don't you go out and deliver track? Eh? Well, I says, we do give out track as often as we can. But, so as a testing, I don't know whether I gave him was a good testing thing or not, but I said to him, you say you give out the towers, well, why is it that you don't, I said then, it says being justified by faith we have peace with God. Now I says there's a track. Now that means that we've come under the blood. And that's where they feel. They couldn't say that. So that shows they hadn't been taught right.
Yeah.
And then, and then another time why there used to be a Jehovah Witness elder. Oh, he had been in the, he'd been an elder for about 40 years. So he came. He came to visit me.
Now, Brother and Sister Dinwiddie, you were in the society, you remained in the society after Brother Olson passed away, right? You remained in the society.
Yeah.
Do you remember...
But then you left it.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask, do you remember when P.S.L. Johnson came over from America and ousted some of the elders at Glasgow? With Brother Hemery. Can you tell me something about that?
What one is that?
Brother Hemery.
Brother Hemery and Brother Johnson. Remember P.S.L. Johnson? When he
Johnson.
Paul S.L.
Oh,
Johnson.
Yes, he was.
What kind of a man was he?
He was a good man. I think he was a good man, but he wasn't what I would call a great strong man. He was a good man. He.
When did the Austin came over to the United States?
17.
He did over there.
Just a moment, let me turn the tape over here. Just bring on a
tape. I still don't have to go over. You got a 45-minute tape on?
Yeah, I have 45-minute tape on mine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay, it's on. No, I understand that P.S.L. Johnson... Okay. Yes. I understand that P.S.L. Johnson went over to England in about 1917, early 1917 or late 1916, and was asked by Judge Rutherford to fix up affairs in the Glasgow Church. And as a result, Johnson had ousted some of the elders. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
No, I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
Story.
Now, because this was in Johnson's book, that's why I was wondering if anyone could verify it.
I know that Judge Rutherford, millions of living will never die.
Yes.
That's a lot of humbug. I went and I heard them give that address.
You heard him give that address, yes.
I heard them all that. Oh,
what did you tell him that you didn't like it?
Huh?
Did you tell him that you didn't like it?
I don't know whether I told him, but I told Bunty.
Bunty?
Told Plenty of them. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Plenty, I see.
Well, when you came to the United States, you knew, of course, that the Bible Students Movement began in the United States.
Yeah.
Because of Brother Russell, right?
That's right.
Now, when you came over here, did you join the Brooklyn class or the Jersey City class right away?
Oh, when I came here.
Yeah, when you came here. Did you go to Brooklyn?
No.
No?
Jersey City
right away, huh?
Right.
Yeah,
because it was nearer for him to get to than New York.
Mm-hmm. When did you come to America? When did you come to America, Brother Dinwiddie?
When did I come?
Yes.
I came to America in 1923.
Yeah.
23. And then when did you join him, Sister Mary?
1923.
When I came here.
And then
when I came here.
When I came here.
And you came the same year?
1923. And you went there, some of this, John Shearer took you to a meeting and...
That was before that.
Over...
That was a way before that.
Was that way before that?
Oh, John Shearer, he went to the... when the war was on, he was the one that got it into the truth. And going right into the truth. And then I always walked to and fro to her work. And John was always blowing his horn. See? And I said to him, I said, you know, that's a lot of pride. But be like that. And so John went out of the truth against me. And he was a smart cookie.
Oh, he was a smart
cookie.
He was a nice young man.
And so he, that's what happened to him. And then he used to meet me in the street in the starting to tell me that God was never along that line. Oh, says I don't believe that. That's ridiculous. And so he went out of his room eventually.
What was the brother's name again?
Shearer.
Yeah. Oh, he's John Shearer. He was smart.
He was a smart fella. Young man. He was a young man. And he wasn't a married man. He was a young man.
Sister Dinwiddie, when did you come to the United States? In 23 or 24?
Oh, I came in 24.
24, huh? What month was that in?
It was either June or July. It was in the summertime.
When?
It was in the summertime, so it was either June or July.
It couldn't have been in June, maybe.
Yeah, it could be neither June or July.
Because we might have been on the same boat coming over here. I came in 1924, too. But I came from Hamburg, but you came from Liverpool or where?
I came from Glasgow.
Glasgow, yeah. So we weren't on the same boat.
No. We weren't in the same boat.
Good. Do you remember the Angelophone records? The Angelophone records?
What do you mean by Angelophone?
Well, they were records that had hymns on one side and Pastor Russell on the other, speaking for 2 or 3 minutes.
I've never seen these.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see these?
They were seven.
We didn't have any.
They were 7-inch records. You never had them.
7-inch records, no. We didn't have any of these.
No.
Some visitors here.
I think someone's coming to visit. Hello.
Come on in, Gene. Hiya, Jane.
Hello. Hello. We're all set up for the interview here.
Good to see you. How nice.
Hiya, Sister Mitchell.
Hi. Good to see you.
Hi,
Herman.
We're all interviewing here.
You're on television.
We're interrupting.
You just
you're
walked across the camera there.
Yeah, that's all right.
Sorry.
Just come on.
Come on.
Hello.
We're going to
have on television.
We're going to have a cup of tea.
Back to having the middle now.
How are you?
I'm television.
You look great.
Recorder. That's all. It's not going over the light or anything.
Greetings, Mr. Mitchell.
Oh, we were just interviewing Brother and Sister Dinwiddie, trying to get their recollections of their past when they were young and when they were in Glasgow, and we just got to the point where they came over to America.
Uh-huh.
We're just arriving in America.
You're just arriving in America. Bill
Wilson was here, still alive. Were you in the truth when Bill Wilson was alive?
You were, Mom.
What?
When did you consecrate?
He just wants to say
it's
hello.
It's a long, long time.
Before Brother Osho passed away?
No.
You didn't know him personally?
No.
Oh, I see.
My dad did. But.
Otherwise, you would have been interviewed right here.
That's right.
Oh, she's the one that's doing that.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what I know.
No, Dad and Martin and that, they were.
Eva should be here. She
Eva,
could
tell. Yeah.
Marsha was going to be. She's going to be in at the. That's Thursday, right? Oh no, that's right. No, I get you mixed up with somebody else. Skip it.
Okay, I'll cancel that out.
Sister, I understand we're going to be seeing brother and sister Hirsch, Sister Leverett, brother and sister Coleman on Thursday.
Oh,
and Sister Leverett.
Oh, how
sister
nice.
Leverett, too.
Good. How are they doing, the Colomans?
Well,
they
were hurt. They're pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
They home?
Yeah.
In their own home? Yeah. Well, it's good to see you. We tried to get into the hospital and they wouldn't let us in.
They wouldn't?
No.
No,
I didn't use my mopsy, right? Ollie says, you tell them you're a member of the Comfort Committee, and that's it, you know? When you were in the hospital last Tuesday, and I went in, and
we were too early.
It was 4 o'clock with crazy visiting hours, 4 to 8.
4 to 8?
At night?
So we,
yeah, 4 to 8.
So we came at 2:30, and they wouldn't let us in. You feeling better?
Oh, yes. Come and have a seat.
No. Oh, I've been sitting. You sit down. Anyway, there is
coffee.
Yes, I brought coffee.
All right.
You're on television. We don't have no tea now. Are you English, Brother Dinwiddie? Are you English? You're always wanting tea? It's the English that want to drink the tea.
No. He wants coffee.
Oh, coffee.
Did you hear him? He says, did
coffee.
You bring your coffee?
Coffee.
See?
He's the coffee man. You can have it.
You still get this
on?
Yeah.
Well, where did you come from now?
Home.
Oh, home.
Oh, Jane, I want to know where you live. What's the name?
Hampton. Is the town.
Yeah,
actually,
Western
we
New
live
Jersey.
In Washington Town.
It's almost on the Pennsylvania line, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's 15 miles from Easton, which is the first town in Pennsylvania. 30 miles from Allentown. It's really not too bad coming here. It's 50 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like, it seems like almost central for a lot of the brethren. So I was very pleased because
shall we continue with our interview?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well,
I don't want to. Am I on
this? Yeah. Well, you were a little bit. That's
right.
I'll stay in the background. Okay, I'm going to listen very carefully.
What is that you've got?
That's Santa Claus's helper.
I hope you edit all this.
Oh, well, we'll do that eventually. Goodbye.
But we don't want to cut out.
Oh, is it going?
Oh, yeah. It's all right.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. stereo recorder and the video recorder. And that one. Anyway. I don't have any other additional questions, except we started discussing what happened after you came to America, but do you have anything else, Brother Herman? I don't know.
Well, I'm a little more interested in once you joined the Jersey City Ecclesia, what your reaction and what your services was, your activities there. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I see.
Now, I remember for a time, you went to Jersey City and you went to Patterson.
Oh, yes, I went to Patterson because I got a ride. We had no car, you see, and I couldn't go.
Oh, I see. That was the reason. Well, can you tell us, Brother Dinwiddie, a little bit about your services and the Jersey City Ecclesia, your activities there? Oh. I know one time you and I went tracting.
Yeah, he and I went tracking.
We were in a Catholic.
All over Bloomfield you've been tracting.
Yeah. And we're in the Catholic area, and he says, well, the Catholics hear the truth too and accept it, so.
Yeah, that's right. I remember he's...
Did you go back to the old elders, like William Hollister? And
no, we didn't. That's a good idea, though.
William Hollister.
Do you remember Brother Hollister?
Oh, yes.
What can you tell us about Brother Hollister? That's Brother William Hollister,
William
I guess.
Well, I liked him very much. He was a very honest man, a very plain, outspoken person. He told you what his thoughts were.
But he did it
with a smile.
Yeah.
He could get away with moments anything because of the way he did it.
Brother Dinwiddie, William Hollister, was he... did you disagree with anything he believed in?
Oh, yes.
You did, huh?
Oh, yes. And they had an argument the two of them had.
Can you tell us what?
Well,
it's so long since now. They got it straightened out. I remember it being
Sister
straightened
Dinwiddie,
out.
Sister Dinwiddie, you have to move back a little bit. You're going too far. You're on her.
I'm the greatest one. I have to be doing something when I sit. I can't sit in
peace. I wouldn't like to...
I wouldn't like to say anything.
No.
What was disagreed in? Because that was all done with. He was straightened out.
Yeah, okay.
A good man. I agree with you. He was true in the truth. Everything he said was true, and he got it from Brother Russell. He told you he got it from Brother Russell. Got it in the Brother Russell books. Okay. We studied Revelation together, brother.
Oh, you and Brother Hollister?
Yeah. This book here, the nurse just brought it in across the hall. It says, Notes on the Book of Revelation, suggested and compiled from the Harvest Message by David Dinwiddie. These are all your notes here. I'm going to put it on camera so the camera can see that there's about 2.5 pages here, 2.5 inches of book on the Book of Revelation. These are all your notes, Brother Dinwiddie?
Yeah.
You got these from the pastor.
He gleaned them.
Yes.
So a little stout sister, she must be secretary.
Yeah, she was secretary.
That's
what I'd like to know.
And she comes down here. She says,
could I have the book of Revelation?
Yeah.
Brother Dinwiddie, we'd like to have permission to take your notes, and Brian will Xerox them for us. Can he do that?
What?
Xerox.
Can they copy your notes?
Oh. You get them all back as it is. He'll take it with him to Detroit, Xerox it, to duplicate it, and you get the whole thing back. Is that okay?
That's all right.
No, okay.
It's not okay.
Well, leave out the no, huh?
Well, he ought to be the one to give permission. Some of the things have been... No, I don't want any of the friends. But you younger people must have
Yeah,
them.
We have them, Brother Dinwiddie. And Brother Fry's notes are run off. You ought to let the brethren have the benefit of all your studies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that's all right.
You just got permission.
Learn with you.
We can't put it in a scotch.
Yeah, that's some of the bread.
Well,
the
scotch, you can all read scotch. Not as a scholar unless they can read scotch.
What about Brother Magnuson? Do you remember Brother Magnuson? He was another elder, wasn't he, in Jersey City?
Yeah.
Brother who?
Magnuson.
Brother Magnuson.
Oscar Magnuson.
Oh, yeah, Magnuson.
He was an elder, too.
Yeah, he was there.
He was good.
He was
a straight. Oh, he was so particular.
I once heard a story about Brother Magnuson that Brother Edmund Jesuit repeated once in 1973. He mentioned that Brother Magnuson used to go ahead of Brother Russell and, follow up after Brother Russell had spoken in a town. He'd go back and take the names and go to visit the various homes, and he would try to sell the books. And Brother Magnuson had caught wind that one town, the preacher said, don't buy any of those books by Russell, by C.T. Russell. So Brother Magnuson found that out, that had been preached from the podiums there. And he said when people would come to the door, they'd ask, who are those books by? And he said, well, that's by C.T. Russell. and they'd buy them. They realized it wasn't Russell. So anyhow, Brother Russell caught wind of this. And when Brother Magnuson came back to the Bible house, Brother Russell came, oh, hello, Brother Magnuson. From that moment on, he never did that again. He realized it was a misrepresentation and didn't want to... Didn't want to do that ever again. So, so Brother Magnuson had a little reputation. That's good.
Well, Brother Dinwiddie, we didn't get any much out of my question before. Your services in the Jersey City Ecclesia. How long were you there before they made you an elder? How long were you in the class before you became an elder?
Oh,
well, you were
I was wrong. I tell you, I had to caution them against it. Brother Hirsch, in Jersey City, and Tover was standing Brother Hirsch's class. And some of the brethren got up and moved that I'd be an elder. So I got up and I said, no, I don't accept it. Because if I allow myself to go forward as an elder, you know what's going to happen. I'm not qualified because I've never really graduated.
He hadn't been a deacon.
So Brother Hirsch, he's a grand brother. He got up on his neck and said, yeah, I think Brother Dinwiddie's right. He's not qualified to be an elder yet.
And you appreciated that.
Oh, he was a...
Well, I remember Brother Fry telling me a few years ago that he liked to sit at your feet and listen to you speak in the Jersey City class. He mentioned that he really appreciated your services. And when I was there 5 years ago, I remember you were serving the class there with a talk entitled Elijah and Elisha. And that was really a nice discourse. Really appreciated it. I'll wait to get that flipped. There's nothing on that side, is there?
No.
I say that talk was Elijah and Elisha, and it was a very nice discourse. I just found the tape again yesterday, 2 days ago when I was still at home. And I didn't have a chance to re-listen to it then because it was already 2 in the morning. I just finished with the other tapes that I listened to of Brother Fry's interview that I had with him 5 years ago. Talk entitled Elijah and Elisha. And that was really a nice discourse. Really appreciated it. I'll wait for you to get that flipped. There's nothing on that side, is there?
No. It's in the tape.
I say the talk was Elijah and Elisha, and it was a very nice discourse. I just found the tape again yesterday, or not yesterday, 2 days ago when I was still at home. And I didn't have a chance to re-listen to it then because it was already 2 in the morning. I just finished with the other tapes that I listened to of Brother Fry's interview that I had with him 5 years ago. And I felt I'd better get some sleep so I could get up and fly out here the next morning. So, I'm looking forward to listening to that talk again.
I bet it was about faith, wasn't it, Brother Dinwiddie?
Uh-huh.
The talk on Elijah and Elisha on faith.
Yes. I think I remember because I have listened to it
since. Yeah, come down to Detroit, I'll bring it down.
Okay, when we have a convention in Detroit, you can come and speak to us.
I typed up his last talk. At home, it was excellent.
Which was it?
The last talk on it. It was also on Elijah.
Was this? This was in 77 when I was here.
Well, this was just last May.
Oh.
Can you get us a copy?
Very good.
Ryan, I'll take the copy.
Yes, indeed. Do you have anything else? When were you last an elder, Brother Dinwiddie? When were you elected an elder last?
He was an elder as of last May.
And then?
Not since June.
June.
Got to be too much.
Yeah, they have 2 elections a year, right? In Jersey City.
Yeah. I often wondered why.
We're going to ask that question at the next business meeting.
No, we don't want that on the tape. We don't want that on the tape, okay?
Once a year is enough.
Hard enough to go through it. Well, okay. I think that we have... Do you have anything else, Brother Hummel? I don't have anything else.
Well, there's something else we'll be gone on our way back.
No, I don't know.
That's the problem. We think about things to ask afterwards.
Except that we won't be... We're very thankful, Brother... Sister Dinwiddie, very thankful for this interview.
Can we ask Brother Dinwiddie to offer a prayer upon this interview? Brother David? Brother Dinwiddie, would you offer a prayer?
Let me adjust the camera
first. Okay. Almighty God, the great shepherd of the sheep, we draw nigh to thee at this afternoon hour, and again we thank thee for thy tender mercies over us, brought us out of darkness into marvelous light. And so we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we may appreciate the greatness of thy love and the greatness of thy power. And we thank thee, too, how thou demonstrated thy divine love by sending thy dearest treasure to be the Savior of the whole world. And so, as we understand these things and appreciate them, dear Heavenly Father, our prayer is that thou wilt continue with us and give us more of thy Spirit, so that we might indeed be living epistles seen and read of all men. Forgive us of our shortcoming and perfection, and bless the dear brethren who have been with us this afternoon. Bless them and keep them and guide them. In Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Did you quote for Brian
the
scripture that always gives me goosebumps when you say it? Oh, what manner of love. You tell him that. When he says it.
You want to quote
you
the scripture?
You quote that scripture.
Quote the scripture.
Oh,
what manner of love.
What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. that we should be called the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ our Lord, to an inheritance undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days. And so we just leave ourselves in thy care and keeping, because we know nothing of ourselves. But when we leave ourselves in thy hand, then we come out more than conquerors, through him who loved us and bought us with his own precious blood.
Very good,
Brother Dinwiddie.
You know, I was telling Brian, Brother Dinwiddie, that one time you heard yourself on tape, and you said, "That isn't me, because I lost my Scotch accent."
That's what he thinks.
That's funny, Sister Dinwiddie, huh?
That's something you can't lose. Somehow or other, it always pops up.
Yeah.
You know, I know in myself, when I used to be in the Home and School Association, I was the president for it for 3-4 years. And I had some trouble along that line, too. They used to be... I used to give them little... what do we call them again? Little sayings that we had at home, and that one of them, I'll give you the one that sticks to me most that I've used so often. Keep your face clean and your feet clean, and you'll always be true. I would think what difference would that be, whether my feet was dirty or clean? What difference would that be? But you know that is true. If you have dirty feet, you make a mark all over the place where you go.
Well, you have to be careful how you walk, huh?
That's right. You have to be careful what you say and do. So
that in your heart.
So that one sticks there.
Clean hands and a pure heart, right?
Clean hands and a clean heart.
Right.
I went over the glaucomas. I'll double from yours.
Okay.
That's
very good.
How is he? Glaucoma?
He's pretty good. We saw him this morning.
Good.
We interviewed him there, too, but they wouldn't let us video tape it. I have to call the director tomorrow morning to find out whether he wasn't there. So I have to call him tomorrow morning to see if he would permit it. And then we'll see him again tomorrow.
What in the world would they not permit something
like that? Well, the head nurse said that the law, the New Jersey state doesn't permit it. They have objections here. She called the director here, the nurse, head nurse, and she said it's okay.
That's crazy.
They may be afraid that this is something for the public, you know?
Oh,
to expose something.
Yeah, Mike Wallace or
something.
Yeah.
I think you're going to ask like, about
like,
the...
You know you're going to have a bad day when you walk in the office, there's a 60 Minutes news team waiting for you.
That's right.
You, when we walk in with all the apparatus and carrying it, they say, oh, you got to be careful with this here, you know.
Yeah,
these
so
are
we
investigators,
came in first,
but we weren't.
We came in first, got permission, and went out and got it. Well, I'd like to take a couple of still pictures with...
Where are my camera case? Is that over there?
Yeah.
Yes, big yellow case. Thank you.
Well, thanks for that.
Take your comb, Gina. Take my nails on the mirror and go down.
You're beautiful. Just the
That's
way you are.
Older.
Right like that.
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder.
She kept walking away with her walker. I said, "Come on, Sister Dinwiddie, come back. We have your beautiful face in this picture." And then she came back.
Hey,
and she said that very quietly.
There.
Okay. Now smile real nice and pretty,
okay,
Sister Dinwiddie.
Sister Dinwiddie, come on.
Come on.
Nope, don't move. Just smile. Up here. It's there. Bless your
very
heart.
Nice. Well, brother. Okay, one more.
Hey, wait a minute, Brian.
Okay.
here.
Yeah.
Oh, the two of them. Okay, let me get without the microphone in the way here. Okay. Very nice. All right. Thank you very, very much. That's beautiful.
You're celebrities.
Yeah.
As the very capable elder of the Jersey City Ecclesia, who is now going to give us a short discourse on what subject was that? You're going to give a 5-minute discourse.
Oh, that's bad.
You don't just stand up.
You stay seated, Brother Dinwiddie.
You
can stay seated if you'd like.
Oh, I don't need me.
He can talk about this.
Okay. Oh, don't touch the microphone.
Can't touch the microphone.
I shall not.
You were going to sing in there.
Go ahead, David. You can do it just as well as me. As you, I have seen it.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me by the quiet waters. And so, dear loving Heavenly Father, as we realize the wonders of thy grace, as we realize how thou art always trying for to help us, always seeking for to give us more of thy spirit. And so, dear loving Heavenly Father, help us for to appreciate the heights and the depth and the length and the breadth of the great love wherewith they were loved. They loved us so much that thou gavest thy dearest treasure. And Jesus' love also was so great that he gave himself a ransom for all. And so we thank thee for the presence of these brethren here this afternoon, and we pray that each one of us might realize too that it's the giving. We have to give. We give ourselves. And so as we give ourselves for one another, why, our life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentation. It finds an echo in my heart. How can I keep from singing?
Very good, Brother Dinwiddie.
Thank you very, very much. Beautiful.
Very, very special people. I think you've earned your cup of coffee. What do you think?
Good stuff.
On the kettle, Ginny.
Okay, I'll put the kettle on.
Those cables. Okay, in fact, that's done. Let me wind this to the end. You want to put it onto this recorder?
Yeah,
that'd
be
fine. Okay, tell you what.
And then she writes a travelogue about it.
Where does she live?
She lives in Plainfield.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I wonder if we could see her.
Is she in the truth, too?
Is she still in the truth?
Well, I don't know. She don't meet with us.
No, that's for sure. She might have lost contact.
Does she meet with the society?
Yeah, you could contact her.
Well, when you come out of here, out of this nursing home, maybe we can go and visit her sometime. I'll pick you up. We can visit her sometime. You think that'll be possible?
Yeah, I suppose. I think so.
We'll see how well you can get around then.
All right.
Do you have some questions?
Well, I had some questions in general, but... do you remember the photodrama?
Sure.
Could you tell me something about it? What do you remember about it? Do you remember movies that were used in it? What some of the movies were? I know there were lots of slides.
Yeah, we had... yeah, we had the photodrama. And... we rented an old theater, hadn't been opened in years. You know, it was covered with dust, and we worked our heads off to get it clean enough to have the public come in.
This was in Plainfield?
Yeah. I don't know whether it's there yet or not. I don't think it is, but anyhow, we fixed this place up. And there was some argument about letting them go up in a gallery, see? And we thought maybe if they went up in the gallery, they would disrupt the meeting, you know, by
cat calls.
Having something else going on.
Yeah.
So we put a chair across the entrance to go up in the gallery. And then after we got started, we found out he'd taken the chair away. And then the question came up on Sunday, did we want speakers from the Bible House to come out and address us? And there was a dissension there because said we wanted them, providing they wouldn't come out and try to sell us a seventh volume, because Pastor Russell, we knew that he said he had never written a seventh volume. See?
Yeah.
But this crowd, their argument was that there was a seventh volume, because a seven is a figure of completeness,
yeah,
and they was bound to have a seventh volume, see?
Yeah.
And that's why we had the trouble.
What year did you show the photodrama? What year did you show the photodrama in?
Plainfield.
In Plainfield. In what year?
Well, I don't know, but I think it was around 1914.
Do you remember what some of the movies in it were about?
Do I remember
what? What some of the movies in it were about?
Well, no, I can't say it. I do remember.
Was there one about...
I remember they sent a man out. We had it for a period of time, you know, every night for a week or something like that. And they sent a man out to operate the machine. Well, one day he didn't get there. So we had an audience, but we didn't have any operator. So I undertook to operate the machine, and I remember I got the tape on backwards, see?
Oh, the film.
And
yes.
Instead of the person coming in the room this way, he come in that way. But nobody knew that but me, you know. But at the same time, it was in your mind all the time that the thing was backwards.
Were there motion pictures of Brother Russell used in the photodrama? Do you remember? I remember. I understand there were some pictures used, and I was wondering if you remember them.
Yeah, I think it's...
See, I have a movie of Pastor Russell, and it's part of the photodrama, and I'll show it to you a little later if we can get permission to hook it up to the TV, because it's on a videotape.
Yeah.
But maybe it'll remind you of some of the things that you may have seen. It's a real short, 2-minute movie.
Do you understand what he said, Brother Comer?
Huh?
Do you understand what Brian said to you just now? Did you understand what he said to you?
Yeah.
He's got a video tape of Brother Russell.
Yeah.
Which can be shown on this television screen
yeah.
for about 2 or 3 minutes. We'll have to get permission whether we can do that or not. You'll see Brother Russell on that then.
Yeah.
You want to ask something else in this?
Well, okay,
maybe I can get permission.
Maybe you could. I'll go on with questions. Yeah. It just requires connection to the antenna terminal. It's nothing major
yeah.
or anything like that. Brother Comer, do you remember the Angelophone records in 1916? They were first made available in early 1917. The Angelophone records that had a hymn on one side and Brother Russell on the other. Do you remember anything about that?
No, I don't remember about that.
Okay. All right. Well, I had some questions regarding the 6th volume and the forewords which Brother Russell wrote in 1916. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Okay. We have some problems regarding the forewords. Some of the friends don't believe that Brother Russell wrote those. Do you know for sure that he did write those forewords in 1916?
Well, no, I couldn't say yes or no.
Well, what do you know about the circumstances? Do you know anything about circumstances of them being written? Why he wrote them? Why he felt it necessary to write a 1916 foreword?
No, I couldn't say that I did.
Okay. All right.
You see, he used to answer questions Sunday night, but somebody asked a question once, I remember. I don't remember what the question was, but I remember him saying, I don't know, and if you get to heaven before I do, you can ask Peter what he meant.
Could you, I understand that you are really quite a memorizer of poetry, that you have memorized some poems. Do you have any in your mind to recall now that you could recite? By the way, Brother Tony Malinowski and Sister Helena Malinowski, maybe you remember her as Helena Burovich. But from Boston, Massachusetts, they send their love and greetings to you, especially.
Thank you.
From there in the Detroit area, also in our class.
Well,
do you remember any poetry?
I know a poem called "The Jew."
Okay.
Scattered by God's almighty hand, afflicted and forlorn. Sad wanderers from their pleasant land did Judah's children mourn. But listen, do you love the Bible's precious page? Who wrote those lines of love for you? Each sacred writer was a Jew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and James to mention but a few. Then when the great Redeemer came for guilty men to bleed, he did not take an angel's name, no, born of Abraham's seed, Jesus, who gave his life for you, the gentle Savior, was a Jew. And then as time and ages passed, and nations rose and fell, and clouds of darkness off was cast o'er ancient Israel, the oracles of God for you were kept in safety by the Jew. And then as time and ages passed, the nation rose and fell, and clouds of darkness off was cast o'er ancient Israel, the oracles of God for you were kept in safety for the Jew. And God in pity turned to you. Have you no pity for the Jew? Go then and bend your knee and pray for Israel's ancient race. Ask the dear Savior every day to call them by his grace. Go, for a debt of love is due from Christian Gentile to the Jew.
Very nice. Very nice. I'm really impressed at how well you could remember that. Did you write that poem?
No, I didn't write it.
Did you write any poetry?
No.
No? You just memorized it all. Very nice.
If a poem appeals to me, I can memorize it.
You have another one there, Brother Coma. I needed a little rest or something. What was that? I needed a little something. I needed a little something. What was that? A poem.
Yeah.
I needed a little...
Oh, I needed the quiet.
The quiet, yeah. Let's
I
have
needed
it, Brother
the
Coma.
Quiet, so he drew me aside into the shadows where we could confide. Away from the bustle where all the day long I hurried and worried when active and strong. I needed the quiet, at first I rebelled, but gently, so gently, my cross he upheld, and whispered so sweetly of spiritual things, though broken in body, my spirit took wings to heights never dreamed of. When active and gay, I needed the quiet, so he drew me away. I needed the quiet, no prison my bed, but a beautiful valley of blessings instead, a place to grow closer, in Jesus to hide. I needed the quiet, so he drew me aside.
That's beautiful. Very, very nice.
That's it.
I got one more. One more.
Huh?
One more. You remember the one, you always recite that poem, you think about Sister Comer. Something about December and May or June. What was, you remember that one?
Yeah. Should you go first?
Yeah, that's it.
And I remain... to walk this path alone. I live in memory's garden, dear, with happy days we've known. In spring, I look for roses red. In summer, lilacs blue. In autumn, when the brown leaves fall, I'll catch a glimpse of you. Should you go first and I remain, his sweet well done to hear, no lengthening shadow shall creep in to make this life seem drear. We've had so much of happiness. We've had our cup of joy. Our memory is one gift of God. that death cannot destroy.
Good.
Really nice.
But of course, death can destroy. Death does destroy.
Destroys no, the tie.
Nobody remembers anything. Death, that's the end of it.
Except for those who have the promise.
But it rhymes the other way, so that's the way you say it.
Did you conclude all your questions?
I think I just about do.
You got to set that up on me.
Well, I was wondering if you have any recollections about, other than the seventh volume, about the experiences that you had after Brother Russell died. Some of the brethren who were involved in taking over the Watchtower. Do you remember Judge Rutherford and his actions and
yes.
how he got into power?
Yes. We had a class in Plainfield, and this man rented a two-family house that is with two floors, and the second floor he rented to other people that were all in the truth together, see. And the question came up one Sunday, did we want speakers from the Bible House? And question came up, and I remember I was leading the class that Sunday, and I said we wanted them providing they didn't come out and try to cram down our throats a seventh volume, because we knew that Pastor Russell had said he hadn't written the seventh volume.
Brother Comer?
Yeah.
You told us that before, but the point there is now, what was the result of that? Now, was there agreement with what you said, or was there a disagreement in the class? What happened?
Well, there was a disagreement in the class, and this fellow, he said, he rented this house, you know, and he sublet the second floor to another family. But there was all in the truth.
Yeah.
And we was having a meeting in this upper floor family's house that Sunday. And he got up and he said, the meeting will be down in his apartment the next week. Those who wanted to meet with him was welcome. And he walked out on it. Well, and he walked out because he wanted somebody to come and sell us this on the seventh volume. And,
uh-huh.
and we couldn't be sold on the seventh volume because Pastor Russell said he hadn't written one.
So that created a split, right?
That's where the split was,
yeah.
right there.
Yeah.
And it never healed. It never got over.
Yeah. Do you remember anything on a larger scale? When did the society, when the judge took over and all that? Do you remember anything of that?
I don't remember too much about it.
Brother Russell was on the West Coast when he died.
Yeah.
And what did the judge do when he found out that Brother Russell had passed away? What did he do then?
I forget what the man's name was.
Rutherford.
Rutherford,
yeah.
yeah.
Judge Rutherford, they called
him. Judge Rutherford.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And what did he do? Do you remember what he did after, shortly, almost immediately after Brother Osso passed away?
Yeah.
What did he do?
I don't know, but he had a girlfriend.
Well, we don't want to hear about that.
I have some information on that already.
I don't know who she was, but I know.
I have a name.
Talk about it.
Was the name Bonnie Boyd?
What's her name, Bonnie Boyd?
Huh?
Bonnie Boyd?
I don't know.
Okay, so that's the name
I don't know who she was, but I remember there was quite a story about it.
Yeah. Well, does that have anything to do with the greater split that took place after Pastor Russell passed away? When did society got active? Do you remember anything of that? Or did you break away when Brother Olson passed away? Because you were isolated for quite a number of years. You remember how you came back into the truth? You remember that? The New Brunswick class had a witness in Plainfield.
In what year?
Oh, now you got me on that. Maybe you know. You remember we met in the YMCA. Or was it the YWC, I think, at first. We had a public witness there, and you and Sister Coma came there, and you found us again, and we found you. You remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember when that was? What year?
No, around 13 or 14.
No, what do you mean? No.
Huh?
No, I'm talking about... See, you were isolated after Brother also passed away. I don't know exactly what you did after that, whether you joined the society or not, but when we had the public witness in Plainfield, and you came to that, you got in touch with the truth again because you had been isolated. You and Sister Comer.
Yeah.
And that's how you came back to us again.
Yeah.
In fact, we had a few Bible studies. We had chart talks and a few Bible studies later on in the YMCA. You remember that too?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, for some time, you were isolated from the truth, though.
Yeah.
When did that happen? Did that happen shortly after Pastor Russell passed away, or was it because you didn't agree with what the judge did?
Well, I don't know, Herman.
It's a long time ago,
It's a long time ago, it's difficult for me to call those things up, but
maybe you remember the reason why you were isolated. When we found you in Plainfield, you hadn't been in touch with the truth for years.
Yeah, that's right.
Was there no class to meet with? Was there a class to meet with in Plainfield?
No.
After 1917?
No, we didn't have very big class.
Well, when did this upstairs-downstairs split that you have in this house, when did that come to an end?
It was 1917, really.
Was that in 17?
Around there, I would say.
Oh, yeah? And then what happened? Everybody dispersed, or what?
Well, it split the Boulder family right down the middle.
Oh.
She was... down the Perth Amboy with her folks on Sunday that they split.
Yeah.
And nobody knew where she was going to go when she came back. Well, when she came back, she went with the guy downstairs.
Oh.
See? And her husband went with us.
You were upstairs.
Yeah.
Oh. Upstairs, downstairs.
But this guy Bogart, he forbid them having meetings upstairs, see? So we didn't have any upstairs anymore. And there was a colored woman in the class, Sister Gibbs.
Yeah. I think maybe some of the old timers might remember her, like Brother Dinwiddie and Sister Dinwiddie, Sister Hirsch.
Yeah.
So then you were out of contact with the truth for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You want to set this up for a moment?
Okay. Just a second. Brother Comer, what is your full name? Your whole name?
Howard.
Howard?
Mickle. M-I-C-K-L-E.
Okay.
Comer, C-O-M-E-R.
Okay.
We're going to show you that video on television now. He's going to hook that up right away, and we'll show you that about Brother Russell.
Okay.
Instead of him coming in from this side, he comes in from this side, see? But aside from that, nobody but me knew that it wasn't working right, you know? So, and we had it for a week. And we put window cards in the stores, you know, and we tracked the whole city. And I remember putting the track in a house, and it was the preacher from one of the local churches. And we had put the track on his porch and lifted up his doormat and slipped it under, but it left enough of it out that he could see it was there. And so he picked it up, and before we got too far away, he attracted our attention, and then he took it and tore it up in front of us.
Didn't like that, did he?
He didn't like that. But we had given the message, and it was okay with us. He wanted to tear it up. But you know, you run into all kinds of people.
That's true.
Brother Comer, tell us about your present situation in the church movement, in the Bible Students movement. What's your present situation? Where have you been in the last few years in the Bible Students movement?
Well, I don't know if there's been anywhere.
Well, you've joined a class, didn't you?
Well, yeah.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, I still go to class, yeah.
Which one?
Huh?
Which one?
New Brunswick.
Well, how long have you been meeting with New Brunswick, the class?
Oh, I don't know. Ever since when, Harmon?
Oh.
1914?
No. No, I would say maybe the last 15 years. About 15 years. How long is Sister... When did Sister Comer pass away? What year?
69.
And she was a member in our church for quite a while.
Yeah.
I would say about maybe 5 years. So you had to go back to 64, 65, around that time. That's when you came back into our class.
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite a while.
Yeah.
How do you like it there?
Here?
No, in the Bible Students, in the Brunswick class.
Oh, very well. I don't have any trouble. No, I think it's a progressive class.
Can we get a little plug
don't
here?
You?
Don't sure, you? Sure, sure.
I think it's a progressive class.
Yeah. I've been in it since about, I don't know, maybe 1945, around there, I guess. Because my first contact was with the Dawn. That was the first contact. Well, we don't want to talk about me, we want to talk about you. But I tell you, I'm very glad we found you in Plainfield.
I got a bad connection here.
You remember Brother Papano?
Who?
Papano? Papano. He came to the meetings. And Sister Alice Barral came to the meetings.
Sister who?
Alice Barral. Oh, no, I got this mixed up. This was in Trenton. This was in Trenton. I got this mixed up with Plainfield.
Yeah. Just a moment, Brother Herman. I have a bad connection here. Okay. Oh. Okay. I think it's all right now.
Yeah, it's all right. See, I'm plugged in. We are plugged in over there?
Yeah.
I'm plugged in there, too. That went dead over there.
No, I mean, the microphone connection was bad.
Oh, I see. Oh.
Okay.
So, you got something else you want to ask him about?
I can't think of anything else right offhand.
Well, Brother Comer, we're going to find out whether... I'm going to call the director here tomorrow morning to see if we can get some video. Do you think you'll be up to going through this again?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah? You enjoy our visit, right?
Well, we enjoyed visiting with you.
Yeah.
We ask Brother Comer to offer a prayer when he would,
yes.
When he would pray.
Brother Comer, would you offer a prayer on our behalf here?
Huh?
Would you offer a prayer? A prayer. Would you offer a prayer for us?
Yeah.
But don't stand up.
Oh, I can stand.
No. Listen, you might get hurt and then we get blamed for it. You stay right there.
Stay right there, brother.
Our most kind and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come into Thy divine presence this morning with hearts full of gratitude and thanksgiving for the many blessings that Thou art bestowing upon us. We thank Thee, dear Heavenly Father, for the day. For this is the day that Thou hast wrought, and we shall be glad and rejoice in it. We thank Thee for the many, many blessings that Thou art daily bestowing upon us, for the measure of health we have, and for the ability and privilege of providing things honest in the sight of all men, and for the many, many blessings that are ours to enjoy. And we ask Thy continued blessing upon each of us, that we may fulfill our purpose in life that Thou hast for us. Forgive us of our shortcomings, dear Father, and keep us ever near the cross, for there is a precious fountain. In Jesus' worthy and precious name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you for the interview, Brother Comer.
Yeah, okay.
You got a good memory. And there were some nice poems you recited for us.
Well, I like to think that memory was given unto us that we might keep the roses until December. Because I think it's one of the very blessed privileges that we humans have.
Yes.
That we have the ability and privilege of recalling memory.
Yeah. Well, we're headed for Morristown now to see Brother and Sister Dinwoody.
Yeah.
I think the best way would be to go over to the 22 Highway, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Down Somerset Street?
Yeah.
Or Watchung Avenue?
Well, either one.
Either one, huh?
Cross.
Yeah.
22.
Yeah.
I think you have to go, whichever one you go, you have to go the same. To get across the highway, you have to go to the same place. Eventually.
Well, we're going east. You don't have to cross over.
Somerset Street.
Yeah. You don't have to cross over to go east, do you? You don't have to cross over to go east?
Yeah.
Oh, you do? Well, we'll see when we get there.
Yeah, to go to Flemington.
No, that's
Delaware.
Thursday. We're going to what's the name of the town again?
Morristown.
Morristown. We're going to Morristown.
Morristown.
Yeah. I'll go up on the 22, go down Mountain Avenue to hit Chatham, and from Chatham right through up to Morristown.
Yeah.
That'll be the best way, I think. All right. Well, we hope you get out here, out of this place, pretty soon.
Yeah, I hope so. I go for X-ray on the 27th.
On the 27th? Yeah. So you're going to spend Christmas here, right?
Huh?
You're going to spend Christmas here?
Yeah, I have to spend Christmas here.
Yeah.
Well, Elman said won't be down until March.
Oh. I thought they were going to come once more here.
Well, you see, they get snowed in up there.
Yeah, that's right. Up there, they get a lot of snow.
And it's a long ride.
Yeah.
It's around 4-hour ride.
Yeah.
So they won't be down till March. And the winter will be over by then.
Well, sometimes you get the worst winter in March.
Yeah, sometimes. According to the papers, we're supposed to have a severe winter.
No, they changed that. They gave a weather forecast some time ago that for the next 90 days we're going to have mild weather. But we've had summer weather here the last few days.
Yeah. Very nice.
Even today, it's a little cooler today, but it's going to be in the 60s.